This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, there is a date I want you to write down on your calendar, on your refrigerator, put it in your date book, put it on your phone. What's going to happen on that day? We're celebrating the 175th anniversary of Crossview Christian Church on that Sunday. It's hard to believe, 175 years. I'm going to let you in on a little inside baseball secret. About 2 months ago, I told the elders that I would like to invite Governor Kasich to come, and because the 4 weeks before I came to Crossview in 2004, we celebrated our 100th anniversary at the church in Atlanta, and the governor came and spoke. But the feeling was 2 months ago, you know, Governor Kasich may be a candidate for president, and as it turned out, he is, obviously. Since then, he has declared, and it might politicize his coming here, and so I said, I get it, I understand that. But I took it upon myself then to invite Donald Trump, and so he will be coming. He will be here on that day. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. That is a joke. Don't anybody quote me on that. Well, the young lady's name is Brittany. She's from Westchester County, New York. I think the town is Peekskill, New York. She writes a little interesting anecdote out of her childhood that sets up the message for today from 2 Timothy in a powerful way. Brittany says this: when I was a child, some friends and peers considered me irritating because of my love for learning and asking questions. If I didn't know the answer, my logic was that I should ask. Because of my craving to learn, I knew at the ripe age of 6 where babies came from. At the ripe age of 6, I could name all the planets in the solar system. And I could take you to the museum, our local museum in our town, and explain to you every single exhibit. I'd been there several times, and I knew what everything meant and what it stood for. She's pretty precocious, you know, intellectually at 6 years of age. But she said as she progressed in education, by the time she got to junior high and high school, she had people start making fun of her. Called her teacher's pet, and you're always trying to be the best at learning. And she just had a curiosity about her, as some probably a child with a high intellect, a high IQ, that wanted to learn. You say, what's that have to do with the message today? Simply this. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy in his last message to him before he dies, he tells Timothy, Timothy, you know, you have learned the scripture since infancy. Now, I found that intriguing. He doesn't say childhood. He says from infancy. And I remember thinking years ago, well, that's really exaggerating. You don't learn things as an infant. And then I wondered, well, maybe you do. And I'll tell you why in a few minutes. It's a passage of scripture that has one of the most important verses in all of the New Testament, where the Bible describes itself and says, this is what scripture. This is what the verses of the Bible mean. This is what they are, and that's what we read today. 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 10. It's called Paul's charge, or command to Timothy, a farewell charge. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Here's the verse. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. It literally means God-breathed out, like CPR. God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I want to begin by talking about that verse 12. It says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Thank God you and I don't have to deal with what they're dealing with in the Middle East, where people are executed, not because they're a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Methodist, a Lutheran, or Catholic. Do you believe Jesus? You're dead. You a follower of Jesus? Does the cross a symbol in your life? Yes, you're dead. You know, what translation of the Bible do you use? It has nothing to do with that. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, you die. Thank God we don't have to deal with that. But Paul says everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. What does that mean? Well, it could mean that you're excluded from gatherings. It could mean that you're overlooked. But yet, you know what? Jesus would say in Matthew 10 that all men will hate you because they hated him. And the hatred that was directed at Jesus would be transferred to you. I said something that somebody took issue with in the first service, but I think I still hold to it, that not all the hatred that people have for you is based on your relationship to Jesus. People can hate you just because they hate you. You know, people can hate you because they resent you. There are people that don't need Jesus to hate people. People may hate you because they resent your job, they resent your education, they may resent your family, they may resent your house, they may resent a lot of things, and hatred can be brought on in people's lives. It has nothing to do with Christianity. My point is, people who experience hatred can't say all the time, well, it's because I'm a Christian. Well, no, not necessarily. People can generate hatred in a lot of ways that have nothing to do with Christianity. That's my point. I want to focus, though, on 15, 16, and 17, because one of the commentaries said this is the key passage of 10 through 17. This is the focal point right here. Verse 15, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation in Christ Jesus." I was really struggling with that. How do you learn from infancy? Well, let me ask you a hypothetical question here. Have you ever, and this may be embarrassing, have you ever had a three-year-old show you how to use your cell phone? I have. I really mean that. I mean, my three-year-old grandson was showing me things that I didn't know the cell phone could do. Oh, I didn't know that. Thank you. Appreciate that. 3 years old. My point is this, is that children are so precocious today, they're learning so fast, like sponges, that they are teaching adults what they know about technology. And I dare say there are probably 4 and 5 and 6 year olds that could probably show you a thing or two about a computer because they're exposed to it. But isn't it sad that we're raising a generation of kids who know how to operate a computer and know how to operate a cell phone and can operate a cable TV set and they know how to operate 2 or 3 controllers? They don't know Jesus. They don't know that God loves them. And they don't know that God has a plan for their life, but they understand technology at a limited scale for a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old. What did Paul mean? And I was really wrestling with this, that you can learn the Word of God from infancy. Here's what I found out. William Barclay said, "The Jews claimed that their children, older days, learned the law even from their swaddling clothes," meaning the blanket they came home from the hospital, to use that analogy. They learned from the time they were infants. Well, this message from 2 Timothy 3 about learning the Scripture from infancy will continue tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org. Crosshope.org. God bless you. William Barclay said, "The Jews claimed that their children, older days, learned the law even from their swaddling clothes," meaning the blanket they came home from the hospital, to use that analogy. They learned from the time they were infants. And the Jews took it even a step further, that as they drank their mother's milk, there was spiritual transference of power and spiritual transference of the Word of God. You say, that's kind of crazy. Really? What did you grow up with? What was transferred into your life as a 1-year-old, a 2-year-old, because of profanity? And because of a person hitting another person, a parent hitting or striking another person? And I've heard all kinds of horror stories over my years in the ministry of what people witnessed at 1 and 2 and 3 years of age. And you say, it doesn't make an impression on people? Who are you kidding? It does make an impression. It does make an impression on people. Let me give you a simple illustration of how children are impressed from an early age. Wayne Smith was a minister in Lexington, Kentucky for years. Wayne was known for his infectious laugh. You could turn a tape recorder or CD on and just push 2 seconds of this man's laugh, and I'd say, Wayne Smith. I recognize his laugh. He had a very definitive laugh that just was a part of his identity. He tells about being in a home visiting some people who were visiting the church in Lexington, Kentucky. And in the course of the conversation with a mom and her little baby, Wayne just laughed. And immediately the child started crying loudly and in great distress. And Wayne said, I'm sorry, did I do something wrong? And the mother said this, Wayne, there's so much strife in our home. So much fighting and backbiting between my husband and myself that the baby just associates loud noise with fighting. You laughed, but she thought you were yelling at me. And isn't that sad? Doesn't it tell you something that children do learn things and pick up things? As you reflect on your childhood, and I'm not talking about when you were in elementary school, first grade, I'm talking beyond the preschool years. What kind of impact spiritually did someone have on you? And then secondly, what impact are you having on a future generation? We are allowing the television set, the cell phone, and the computer to educate our children. And we're raising a generation of children who are biblically ignorant. And I don't say that in anger, just say it as a neutral observation. When the Jews believed that even the Word of God was transferred through the mother's milk, and I think that's a powerful, powerful illustration. What's powerful about Scripture? Well, verse 16 says, all Scripture, not some of it or most of it, all Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly, or woman of God, be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Because if it's true, from infancy, children learn the Scriptures. I think what Paul was really meant by it is that there's a spiritual impact in having godly parents for this reason. I'm going to share something with you that medically may not even be true, but I'm going to tell you what I believe. I've been in hospitals where people are near death. And I've heard both sides of this by medical people. Well, he won't understand what you're saying. He's not cognitively aware of what you're saying, so don't worry about what you talk about. Others have said, no, go ahead and lean down and whisper to your dad or to your mom.
Well, we're going to continue that thought line tomorrow on CrossHope. It's a very important illustration. I want you to hear it. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening to CrossHope. Rarely when I give a message do I do a disclaimer and say, I'm saying this with qualifications, but I want you to hear today's message with qualifications. I'm not saying you have to accept this, you have to even believe it. I'm sharing a belief of mine that I believe that when we pray and speak to a dying person, something happens dynamically because we're communicating with their spirit. Again, my belief. I believe when you pray with an infant, you pray over a baby, you pray scripture, and talk scripture with a baby, there's power that happens because communicating with spirit. That's the essence of what I talk about in this section of this message from 2 Timothy. God bless you as you listen.
I'm going to share something with you that medically may not even be true, but I'm going to tell you what I believe. I've been in hospitals where people are near death. And I've heard both sides of this by medical people. Well, he won't understand what you're saying. He's not cognitively aware of what you're saying, so don't worry about what you talk about. Others have said, no, go ahead and lean down and whisper to your dad or to your mom, to your grandparent, and say something. And I totally take a totally different take on it. I'm not worried about whether they understand it cognitively with their brain. I believe that if a person has a spirit, which we all do, we have a spiritual side to us, that we can talk to a person's spirit. And if the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible and we quote the Bible to a dying relative who's a believer, that means the Holy Spirit in them recognizes the Holy Spirit in the words that you're speaking. And that's why I believe they have power. Here's my theory. If that's true with somebody who's checking out, Why wouldn't it be true with a baby who's raised in a Christian home as you hold that baby and you pray over that baby and you speak truth into that infant's life in swaddling clothes? There's power. There's power in spirit communicating with spirit, deep calling out. That's what I really believe. I'm not a poetry reader. I don't read poetry and I don't quote it. Most of you have heard me say that. I'm not condemning poetry. I just don't use it. But Bill Bennett, the former Secretary of Education, in one of his books quotes this poem. I don't think he wrote it, but he quotes it. When mother reads aloud, the past seems real as every day. I hear the tramp of armies vast. I see the spears and lances cast. I join the thrilling fray, brave knights and ladies fair and proud. I meet when mother reads aloud. When mother reads aloud, far lands seem very near and true. I cross the desert's gleaming sands, or hunt the jungle's prowling bands, or sail the ocean blue. Far heights whose peaks the cold mist shroud, I scale when mother reads aloud. When mother reads aloud, I long for noble needs to do, to help the right, redress the wrong. It seems so easy to be strong, so simple to be true. Oh, thick and fast the visions crowd my eyes when mother reads aloud. All that poem is the power of a mother reading to a small child or even an infant. What are you conveying to the children in your life and to the infants in your life? Of the Word of God. Speaking truth over them and into them, praying truth into them and over them. That's what I believe is the missing link in children's lives today. I really do.
Well, I'd like for you to hear the closing illustration of going through my parents' personal effects as we're closing up a house. Some of you have gone through that with your parents. You know exactly what I'm talking about. That's tomorrow on Cross Hope, our website again, crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening to Cross Hope. Well, all this week on Cross Hope, we've been looking at this third chapter of 2 Timothy. It's Paul's final letter to a young minister named Timothy before his death. And so these are the last words of the Apostle Paul, not only to him, but to you and to me. And we focused on the passage that talks about infancy. Very few scriptures do I know in the Bible refer to your infancy or mine. And yet Paul says in verse 15 of chapter 3 to Timothy, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Isn't that interesting that Paul would tell Timothy, you've known Scripture since you were an infant, not since you were a preschooler, elementary age or junior high, but from infancy. And all this week we've talked about how spiritual truth can be and should be communicated to children from day one, not from their fifth year on or their 10th year on, but from day one. Let's continue with the conclusion of this message. I hope it has spoken to you. If you'd like to hear the message in its entirety, you need to go to crosshope.org. God bless you as you listen to the conclusion of this message from 2 Timothy 3:10 to the end of the chapter. God bless you.
Thursday and Friday, Annie and I went to the Chicago area to my parents' home, where it's going to probably be sold around September 1st. My dad died 2 years ago. My mom's in assisted living in Columbus, Ohio. So we're going through with my brother and two sisters going through stuff at the house. And some of you have been there and done that. We've got to clean the house out. And it's really given me a chance to think, even indirectly, about my mom and dad's influence on my life by going through all their books and picking up a book and seeing what they marked, looking at my dad's Bibles, my mom's Bibles, and seeing verses that highlighted what those verses meant to them. They don't know it, but it's a witness to me as their son, a witness to see what mattered to them. Someday, people are going to go through your stuff. What will they find? An angry letter? A note from somebody telling you off? And I'm just theorizing, what will people find that reflects your life and your spiritual life? Because if it's true, from infancy, children learn the Scriptures, I think what Paul was really meant by it is that there's a spiritual impact in having godly parents. May you be a person who speaks truth of Scripture into the life of a child or a grandchild. You may be limited now in your influence over children, but maybe God would bring a grandchild or even a great-grandchild into your life at some point, or the children that are at home. Remember that Paul told Timothy, since infancy, you knew the Word of God, meaning you were exposed to its power and your truth. Whatever you expose your children to, don't be so interested in exposing them to technology that you forget the Christ. Don't be so interested in the kids learning how to use your laptop that you forget about the truth. The one who is the way, the truth, and the life, his name is Jesus. Don't be so interested in teaching them how to use a cell phone for security reasons and not introduce them to the one of ultimate security, the Lord God Almighty. That's what we're to do from infancy. Not from preschool, not from junior high, but from infancy. Be a spiritual example to those God has entrusted to you. That's the message. Let's pray. Lord, speak truth into our lives today from this passage. Bless our communion service that follows. Bless this invitation time as we share decisions of people giving their lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, in the seconds we have left, just a word about our website, crosshope.org. To listen to any message you may have missed or a current message or other features that we offer on crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.